Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
What's up, everybody? Give it up for your worship team one more time. I appreciate them. Okay, so first things first, before we get into it, I got to address it. I know everyone's out there talking about it. Everyone wants to know, where did I get this wonderful shirt? I will tell you, don't worry. This is the shirt that your kids will be receiving when they show up to VBS this summer. You guys, it's coming up quick, and I have to just share while I'm up here. I got my start in children's ministry, so a lot of my knowledge from these old Bible stories, it comes from these memories that are stuck in my mind of us adults all getting together to try to plan how to bring these Bible stories to life for these kids. It rooted me in my faith, so it is dear to my heart. The team works hard. If you have anyone in that age group, whether they're churched or not, get them here for VBS. It's a huge outreach for kids. It's amazing. So I want to take this time to remind you guys, don't miss the mark of inviting your niece and nephew or whoever it may be in your family who's not churched. And we know those kids who need some church in their life. This is that chance. We're here for them that week. So please bring them on out to VBS. Now that that's out the way, I want to move on to where we're at in our study of Acts. It's cool. We've been going verse by verse. And if you remember, Pastor Al did this amazing miracle at the door sermon. I'm going to start where he was at, where Peter gets set free, but we're going to use that to go over into Acts 13. And if you guys can bear with me, it's going to take us to a real good place, but we got to invite the Holy Spirit in. We got to invite God to come in and speak and do something with it, right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now, ready for a move of your Spirit. We trust in you, Father, so I surrender myself to you right now, Father. Surrender my notes, surrender everything, Father. We want to hear from you and you alone. Remove my opinion, remove my thought. Holy Spirit, move in this place. God, set us free from burdens and struggles that we've walked in here with. Let us walk out of here head held high, knowing that we went to your throne that's full of mercy and received it. So we thank you. Let mercy rain down in this room right now. In the name of Jesus, everyone said? Okay, so amen, that was a good amen back there. We've been going through Acts, and Acts for me, I can only share my own point of view where I'm at. Acts is a blueprint of what the church should be. It's like when we start drifting away, when we start in our own walks, when we start just maybe getting a little bit off, it's real good to go back to Acts and see, what did the church do? What were they like? And if you remember in Acts 12, where we're going to start, it was big on prayer. Prayer, we cannot shake it. I saw Pastor Tom talk about it. I saw Hector hit on it. And I watched Al talk about it. And why did all four of those sermons, well, three, mine coming up, why did they have a preface on prayer? Because we're doing word for word, studying through the book of Acts, and you can't get away from prayer. So when church started, prayer was one of the number one priorities in God's church. And if we're going to be God's church, we have to get back to that. So I start with my story of myself, one of my lowest points. One of my lowest points, I got to share this with the junior hires, was me locked when I got locked up. But not just locked up. This is when I first turned 18. I made the biggest mistake of breaking a law right when you turn 18, right when you're legal enough to go into jail, right? Broke the law, and I got locked up. Cool. The next point that destroyed me was when they had you before court, they put you in shackles. I thought shackles were for, like, hardened murderers and just the worst of people. So I'm like, why do they have little old me in shackles? I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm an 18-year-old kid. But I remember the feeling of being in shackles. It was the most humbling experience of my life. I will never forget the fact that I needed someone's help to help me lift up. I needed someone to march me, and I was walking like this. And I'm like, whoa, I've seen this in movies. I've read about this, and I never thought I would be a person shackled like this. I don't want you guys to worry. I didn't do anything too crazy, but they shackled me up. Don't know why. But shackles broke me down. They broke me down to a point where I got lonely. I got depressed. It got dark. And I wish I could go back to this moment and have God by my side. You see, I didn't know God then, but I know him now. And tonight, I know there's some people in here who are not, some of you might be breaking the law. I'm not going to get past that, but I know spiritual shackles are way stronger. And some of you are bound by lust, greed, anger, malice, coarse talk, jealousy, gossip, loneliness, depression. Some of you are bound and are in shackles in these seats right now. And we're going to use Acts 12 and 13 to guarantee you, to let you walk out of here knowing that your chains are gone and you have been set free through the power of Jesus Christ. But I need you guys to be behind me in knowing that's where we're going. We have to walk through some things. So we're going to start in Acts 12, verse 1 and 3. If you remember, Pastor Al went over this, so I'm going to speed through the Acts 12 part so we can get to 13, but there's some things that have to be hit on. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Go back real quick. This King Herod, lineage is going to be a big thing. This is the grandson of the Herod that tried to kill all the babies to try to get Jesus killed, right? So this hate, this persecution is built within. But I want you to see what happens. There's a key point here. Next verse. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And this is the part I want to stick on. Next verse. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. This is a very important part in this story. It gets overlooked. He sees that he puts to death a follower of Christ, and he looks at the people. It pleases them. The people are excited. The people are stoked. The people are like, yeah, this is what we wanted. These people are going around saying these crazy things. We want him out of here. So he sees that and gets the approval of people. And what does that build in us men? What does that build in us as just human beings? Builds that pride when someone's pumping you up for whatever it is you're doing, whether good, whether bad. And he sees that. He sees it pleases them. So he goes, okay, I'm going to the next one. I'm going to grab Peter. He grabs him during the time of unleavened bread, which is very important because he can't put him to death right now because he's still trying to respect somewhat the religious people by not doing it during that time of Passover, right? But he sees that it pleases people and it causes him to go deeper and deeper into that root that his family had built in him of persecuting Christians, of persecuting believers. He gets some people approval and it sends him darker. I say that because the Bible is very intentional on who we please. It's going to bring me to my first point as we go into some verses. Please God, not people. You see, when our intentions are to please people, that's cool. It's good. I'm sure a lot of us do it out of love. But we are to do everything as we are to do unto God, not man. And when we try to please people, it can get corrupted. This is how. I was just at this recently. I was at a birthday dinner. And said friend literally opened up to me about how they wanted to be set free of alcoholism. Literally opened up. That was the first thing they told me. They wanted to be set free of alcoholism. And we get to their party. And the first thing is the family members are walking in. Take a shot. Shot on me. Shot on me. Shot on me. And the pressure is there. The pressure is there. And I watched this friend try so hard to stand strong. But couldn't do it because it was repeated and repeated and repeated because of the environment that this person was around. And by the end of the night, they got to him. By the end of the night, they got to him because not because that person wanted to do this, wanted to participate in this heavy drinking, but because the people that were around them wanted them to participate in this. That peer pressure. You see, that peer pressure can turn you into something you're not supposed to be. And I love that the Bible speaks on that. Pull up Galatians 1:10. It says this. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Leave that up there, you guys in the back. If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a bondservant of Christ is what it says in one of the versions. If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We're going through this change in the youth. We're calling our leaders, we're trying to call them servants now. It has a better feel to it. If we're trying to please people, if the things that we do are based on what people would think of us, or if the way that we love on people are based on what other people would think, then we are doing it wrong and we're not a servant of Christ. I say that to you. I say that to us. So we evaluate our lives. Is there anything that you're doing? Is there any compromises that we make that are solely to please people? Because that lets us down. Look at this next verse. Pull my next one up. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." This is Paul. He was speaking to some Pharisees at the time. He had just finished that. It had just been done. They were talking about a parable of lovers of money. That's the best way I could put it. I don't want to go into the whole scripture. Lovers of money, and the Pharisees are like kind of snarking and laughing at this. And that's when this is called out. You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. Now, when I saw this friend drinking, those people valued it highly. Those people thought that's how you celebrate party. That's how you celebrate your birthday. That's how you're supposed to celebrate. But getting drunk too much, going too far, detestable to God. The word stands true all the time. You see, pleasing people will lead you down a path you never thought you would go down. I want you to remember that, because we're going to have to fight back from someone trying to please people. Peter's now arrested, and he's going to have to get out of this situation, as you guys know the story. We're going to jump ahead. Acts 12, verse 4. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. Once again, he was waiting after the Passover to not kill him during that important time. That waiting period is going to become very important. You see, I want to shift our brains in this story to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. Peter gets put in prison. He's going to fall asleep right now. And he's guarded by these squads of soldiers. If we're in a spiritual world, do you not think that your spiritual peace, your comfort, your walk with God, that the enemy has not placed and planted guards, has not placed and planted spiritual beings to make sure that your envy stays, that your greed stays, that your lust stays, that stuff does not escape that temple that God gave you? That the battles that you've been facing since your parents and grandparents, curses that have been passed down from family member to family member. Do you not think that there are spiritual enemies against us in this room who call ourselves believers, standing guard, trying to make you hold on tight to these struggles? You see, I believe everyone in this room, God wanted here and the enemy didn't. Because we're going to get set free. There's methods. There's methods that the Bible has shown us. This story shows us that there's a clear way to get set free of the bondage that's in our life. So if there's anyone in here, I'm not going to make you raise your hand and call yourself out, because I know each and every one of us are in here going through a trial or going through a struggle or maybe battling a temptation that we thought we could never overcome. Today, you can choose to be set free. Today, you can choose to step out of it. Today, you can choose to get free of those guards that are standing trying to hold you down, hold you in place in your life so you can't be set free. Pull up my next verse, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So remember this, as Peter's locked up, as he's in this prison during this time, his battle is not against flesh and blood. His battle is not against those shackles that are holding him down. His battle is against something spiritual, and that's how he must fight. But as we know, this is how he ends up fighting. Next verse, Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. This word earnestly, Al used it as determination in some scriptures, but I like earnestly. It says this, with sincere and intense conviction. Seriously, that's the definition of how they prayed. Examine your life, what you're going through, what trial are you in right now, what struggle are you trying to conquer in Jesus' name? Because he said, brothers and sisters all around the world are facing the same temptations. We're not alone in our struggle. What are you struggling with? Are you earnestly praying over that struggle? Can you say that? You see, we don't want to leave with no regrets. I'm a firm believer that we're going to get to heaven and regret can't be a thing because God's glory is just too beautiful, right? It's why we're here. It's those last moments here. It's that last breath here. You don't want to sit and evaluate your life and go, dang, I should have prayed more. Because I firmly believe when we get there, when we see God's glory, we're going to understand. Not that we're going to have regrets, but we're going to understand, dang, God's ear was intently listening every time I prayed. Every time. Why didn't I pray more? We don't want to get there. So I've been sent to tell you guys today, I've been sent to encourage the church today. We're going to start praying more and more and more, more earnestly, more seriously, and it's going to move mountains. Now look, we have to keep going. Verse 6. The night before Herod was going to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. The angel of the Lord appeared, light shone on his cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him up, quick, get up, and he said, your chains fell off his wrist. I'm going to stop. We're going to jump from this point because Al did go over this with you guys. If you didn't catch the end of this story, that's why I love we're doing verse by verse. You can catch that. It's called Miracle in the Mirror. But I wanted to get to this point in order to get to where we're going next. Miracle at the door. Sorry, I said mirror. There was a big door on stage, everyone. I don't know why I said mirror. How did I miss that? Hilarious. But Peter, the part I love about this is right before, is the day before Peter was going to be killed is when it came through. Now, you guys have to catch this, church. They had been earnestly praying since that man got locked up. So you have to understand that he's been sitting in there for one, he's sleeping. There's a story. There's less than that in itself. He's in the worst case scenario in his life in prison, but a man of God is able to still get that sleep, still enter that rest. If you're letting one of your trials, your tribulations, your struggles take away your sleep, it's time to claim and take that back. You have peace in the name of Jesus. You can claim that in the name of Jesus. You see, Peter's not stressing, not tripping. It blows my mind. I look up and admire that because how is this man sleeping? This is the day before he's about to get taken out. But he's sleeping because he knows he has set up himself in the Acts church. He knows that there are people earnestly praying for him. He knows that God is in complete control. So if you are going through a trial, it's time to get praying. And it's time to send out. Pastor Ron mentioned something very great. You have to know when to ask other people for prayer. You have to know and have those people earnestly praying for you. Why? Because your struggle should not be taking your sleep away. That's a cop out. Gain your sleep back. No more nights stressing about your struggle. Nope, Peter shows us in jail, locked up, about to go to the death penalty, sleeping like a baby because there's someone earnestly praying for him. So know what it tells me if we can't claim that rest back, we can't claim that sleep back, we can't claim our peace back, you got to reach out to your circle even more. Or for some of us, it's time to switch circles. Get a new circle around you that's earnestly praying for you. You got to figure it out, but we will not sit in our distress. We will not sit in our depression. We will not sit and let those things rule our life. We are men and women of God. We have to understand that. Now, as he goes forward, he gets home. He gets to the house where they're praying at. Of course, they've been earnestly praying there. He gets there, they get shocked. The girl opens the door, is shocked that their prayer is even answered, completely and utterly shocked, forgets to even open the door, goes and tells them. The best part is, when Peter finally gets in the house, it says they're hooting and hollering, they're amazed. They're like, oh my gosh, Peter, you're back. And he says, be quiet. He goes, shh, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what God did. And he shares it, and he says, you need to share this with the rest of the people. This is a very important part for me because it goes into where we're going to go in Acts 13. We have to be steadily ready to share the goodness that God does in our life. I'll say this again. Steadily ready. We can't wait on a miracle that we're going to keep to ourselves. We can't receive a miracle that we're too ashamed to ask for prayer for. You see, you can't be struggling for us fellas. Can't be struggling for lust. And waiting for that miracle. When am I going to get set free of this? When am I going to get set free of this? But you're too prideful to ask someone to help you. You see, God needs the glory. You can't set yourself free. He's going to help set yourself free. Same with those who struggle with addiction. Same with those who struggle with gossip. Same for those who struggle with malice. Those who struggle with anger, and it's ruling your life. If you can't open up, You can't walk to a brother, to an elder, to a pastor and go, I am struggling with this. It's time to pray. And pastor, don't stop praying. And for you, the person asking for prayer, you do not stop walking up. This prayer line should be filled every single time. You keep walking up. We should be tired of seeing you like, oh, so-and-so's coming. We know what they're about to pray about. Don't be ashamed of that. That's good. You're going to get healed one day. It's us who, I'm the type of person that would keep it to myself till it almost destroys my whole life. And then I go, please, someone help me. Let's not be that. That's not the Acts Church. The Acts Church, I'm watching it. I'm looking at it. It was just different. Look at Isaiah 40, 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not become weary. It's those who wait. You see, Peter, if I was in his shoes, I'm like, God's not coming. I've been in here this long. Now they're about to take me out to my deathbed. Is God showing up? And how often do we give up before God's timing? How often do you stop fighting? Do you stop pursuing righteousness? Do you stop pursuing God's way? Do you stop praying? You grow weary of praying because you haven't seen anything. That's not what Peter did. Peter rested and knew. He was still and understood that God was who he says he was. And just when that last moment comes, boom, God's there. Brings me to my second point, if you could put that on the screen. God's timing is perfect. We have to hold on to this. There's so many times that I thought I was hopeless. I thought it was over. I thought there was no hope for my family. I thought there was no hope for my sister. I thought there was no hope for my mother. I thought there was no hope for tons of things. I thought there was no hope for me even becoming a pastor. And then God's timing, like, oh, in his control the whole time. So don't give up. Do not give up. We're going to jump ahead to Acts 13. Now, Paul, he is sent to, he goes to Antioch. He's going to start preaching the gospel. They ask him, they ask Paul for a word of encouragement. That's what they ask him for. They go, if you have anything encouraging, we're going through it. If you have anything encouraging, let us know. And I want to say this to make it clear how good and how cool God is. I knew that some people in here were struggling, going through trials, going through something. And I'm like, God, please use me to encourage that person today. The people who feel like they're going through it. Please use me to encourage them today, right? And then we look into where we're at, and I see, oh my gosh, these people literally straight up asked Paul for encouragement. So the next verses I'm going to share is not my sermon. I didn't put anything together. This was Paul. He stood up and gave a small word to the people to encourage them in Christ. And look what he says. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hands and said, I love seeing this. They motioned with his hands, God, I'm a hand talker. I've received that in the name of Jesus. I hold on to that. I just have to. My hands go flying when I'm teaching. Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles, to me, I fall in love with this because this is us. We're grafted into Israelites. I love that we are included. We are included. We are included. God includes you in the middle of your struggle, wherever you're at. These people were not of God. They were not of the bloodline. They had no business being in God's kingdom. And this is Paul coming to say, this stuff has changed. The way we learn has changed. Right now, I'm speaking to you fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God. Listen to me. This is his sermon. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. Stop right there before I go forward. If you know anything about their time in Egypt, I wouldn't look at their story and go, man, they prospered. If you go and look at their story, slavery. You go and look at their story, struggle, strife. They had to get through. But Paul's saying, look on the other side. They prospered. And guess what they did? Did they get out? They did. You see, if you talk to any of God's people in the middle of their slavery, if you talk to any God's people in the middle of Egypt, especially as they were drifting far from God, I don't think they would tell you, man, God is good. He's providing. I'm rejoicing always because we're prospering right now. No, they couldn't see it. But I'm not saying we have the same excuse. We're going back and reading. We have a chance to learn and apply. You see, right now, you may be struggling with those things I mentioned, the anger, the lust, the greed, your marriage, your parenting, whatever it is you're struggling with. Self-worth, that's another big one. Whatever it is you're struggling with. In the middle of this, you can go back and go, But God's going to prosper me one day. I'm going to get out of this one day. One day, like Peter in that story, his chains fell off and he was set free. You have a chance to hang on to that. You have a chance to hang on to that hope. If God is listening and it is according to his will for me to be set free of this bondage that is all over my life, and we know that is fully according to his will. He wants every single one of you guys set free. There's a lot of prayers that we can offer up that we don't know if that's within God's will. That's up to you guys and your walk with him. But you being set free of the bondage in your life that was trying to hold you down, Jesus been done died for that on the cross. So that's taken care of. So you know when you're praying these things, when you're praying take this stuff away from me, when you're praying make me more like your son, when you're praying make me more like you, help me that I'm available to get closer to you, when you're praying that thing, guess what? God will come through to the fullest. You just have to wait and know that he's God. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. Next verse. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness. I love that it says he endured their conduct. Look how graceful our God is. Look how graceful he is. Anyone out there can admit God's enduring my conduct right now? Because I'm not acting quite the way he told me to act. I'm not doing quite what he told me to do. I know I can be better. I know there's some things that I need to be set free from. Anyone can relate to that? That God can endure the conduct that you're doing right now? He's there waiting. He's there waiting to set you free and still take your chains off. He's still there waiting, saying, I know you've made a mistake. I know you've messed up, and I'm right here for you right now. Just come to me, come to me, come to me. And how often do we not come? How often do we not walk to his throne? How often do we ignore these prayer lines that can break change and set people free? No more. No more. We cannot sit. We cannot sit in these chairs. We have to get help. The Holy Spirit helper moves through each and every person on that prayer line, and more importantly, moves through the person sitting next to you. They can be used to set you free. We pray together. There's power in it, and the enemy doesn't want us doing so. Next verse. And he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, once again, a struggle, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. No more complaining about how long it's taking God to show up for you. I want you guys to go ahead and stop that, because you haven't waited 450 years or you're looking real good for your age. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, then the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. This is Paul's word of encouragement. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. These are the things that God's people were asking for. Set us free. Give us a king. Give us a better king. These petitions that they made before him. And Paul goes, here, I'm here to tell you guys, God's people have been asking for things for years, for 450 years. And no, it didn't look pretty, but guess what? God showed up for each and every one of them, every single one. That's a promise that you can hold in your life. Next verse. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism of all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He goes through the lineage. He goes through God's people. And he goes, these people have been calling on my name for years and years and years, and they have came through. And then this word that stood true. It stands true for years. It points to the Savior, Jesus. So as we get staying within that bloodline, as we get there, because John the Baptist says there's one coming that is greater than I. And this is where I'm going to jump ahead to my next verse. Fellow children, Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, inclusion again, inclusion, inclusion, inclusion. God has never forgot you where you were. It is to us that this messenger of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many years, he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, that they are now his witnesses to our people. You see, it all comes back. And I love that. I know this is what this church represents and churches across America. I don't care what your sermon is on. It points back to Jesus. And when he had his chance to encourage, he let them know, I know you're going through pain. I know you're going through struggle, but God's people has went through struggle time and time again, and he has set them free. And he goes, also, let me tell you about this Savior. Let me tell you that we have been set free. Those who are of the bloodline that you guys are arguing about and those who are not, you've been set free. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Let me show you that God's word said something a long time ago and it was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares about you. That's how much he writes and directs every part of our lives. And look at this final part of what it says. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the laws of Moses. Take care of what the prophets have said. Take care of what the prophets have said does not happen to you. I'm going to end there. There's a last part to that verse that we're not going to get into. There's that sin that's in our life. Those chains that are bound around us, those spirits that are standing guard on your soul, they've been defeated in the name of Jesus. They've been completely washed away. I love it because we're going to go back to that Peter. At the end of Peter's story, Herod gets mad. Excuse me. And he has put to death the guards. The guards who were guarding Peter, after he finds out that they let Peter escape prison, he goes, okay, done with you guys, your job. You didn't do it. Dead. See, for me, that's the equivalent of what Jesus did for us. Those spirits that are standing guard on your soul, when you come to him, when you come to his throne, when you confidently approach and you pray to the Lord Jesus, he sets you free. He speaks death into all those things that are trying to torment your life. Don't allow them back in. Don't allow them back in. Let's take hold tonight. Let's take them back tonight. Don't allow these things back in your life. I want a machine gun through my final verses. If you could pull up Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. On what occasions? Interesting. With all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Look at how much we have to pray. Something that has been said to me before is if you only have what you prayed for this week, what would you have? It's an amazing question. I love it when it gets asked to me. It's an amazing question. Would your family have good health? Would you have finances? Would you have your bills paid for? Would you have good health? Would you have a good walk that day? Would you have asked God to use you to help someone? Would you have served that week? If you only had what you prayed for, what would you have? And if that answer is a whole bunch of nothing, let's go. We're waking up today. It's all good. Next verse. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. It gives us no escape. If you are in trouble of any sort, if you're going through a struggle, you're going through a trial right now, you are to pray. Do not leave here. This is today, you guys. Do not leave here. We pray. It's going to take humility. When I end here in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to pray humility over us, that we're able to actually share where we need help at, where we need prayer at. A couple more verses. I'm going to jump ahead. Psalm 17:6. Sorry, back room. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear. Next verse. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. These are things that you have to remember and understand. That he doesn't turn his ear from you. It's very easy in our trials and our struggles when we're in that point of Israel being in slavery, it's very easy to think God has turned from us. He doesn't hear my cry right now. He hears every bit of it, and he's working on it. He's working on it, working on it. More importantly, he's working on your heart. He's going to get it there. Next verse. Two more, and we're out of here. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised for those who love him. This verse is a challenge for me as a competitor. Having stood the test, these very things that have been sent to break you, the struggles, life, bills, parenting, adulting. Talked to a young adult about adulting right before we came in here. It's hard. These things are meant to break us. But having withstood the test, you're going to get to see God's glory. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you learn anything today, you should learn to not give up, that you keep praying, because God's timing is perfect and he will arrive. This is my final verse, and then we'll get to my final point. Consider it pure joy, James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, lacking in anything. Consider it joy. It's not joy. It says consider it joy. See, it's not that when you're going through the pain, you're going through the struggle, you're like, yippee, I can't pay my gas bill. Yeah. It's really not that. It's I can't pay my gas bill. But you know what? The Lord's going to do something. So I'm going to be happy, all right. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to continue in my day because God's got my back. You're not happy your trial happened. That's fake. Get that out of here. But you're happy. Your joy comes, and I know God's got me. This thing is not paid right now, but his timing is on time. I know I'm still struggling with this addiction I've been trying to break, but God's timing is on time. If I don't give up, he's going to come through. It's going to happen. If I don't give up, God's going to come through like he came through for all his people in Acts 13. It will happen. My final point, if you could put that on the screen. Prayer has the power to absolutely break every chain in your life. Someone write that down immediately. Whatever it is holding you back, we can pray right now. This prayer team can pray with you right now, and you can be set free of it. But it takes some humility. It takes some perseverance. It takes trusting God's timing. And it takes not worrying about what any man thinks of you. Not worrying about what any person thinks of you. That's what it takes. And you come up here and you say, this is what I need prayer for. And I was, sir or ma'am, whoever's up here, I'll be up here weekly until I can tell you I've been set free. And that's church. That's how you be the church. And when you get that change in your life, when you get set free, just like Peter did, you never keep it to yourself. You boast and you brag about it. You let people know, I was once this, but God set me free. I was once a prisoner, but God set me free. I was once an addict, but God set me free. And you boast in your weakness. But it takes that humble state when we all have to admit, dang, I'm broken. I need him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray your spirit humble us, God. We all need you. We come together as a congregation saying, God, help us. Help us through our trials. Help us through our struggle. Help us through our temptations. Deliver us, Father. Set us free. Only us and you know the chains that are bound around us. Only you know the spiritual battles that we face daily. I pray right now, then these prayer lines, a few more soldiers get to know what people are going through. That more people can be earnestly praying for our people, for your congregation, for those in the bloodline and us Gentiles that you continue to include. I pray right now, God, that you set us up by these humble people coming for prayer, that you set us up to earnestly pray for them, Father. That tonight you set them with a new prayer group. You set them with a new church. You set them with a new reason to believe that there's someone praying on their behalf, God. So I pray you give the boldness to get out of those seats and get prayer. That you take away any thoughts of man. That you take away any spiritual principalities that are coming against them. We bind them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray through the prayer lines that chains are gone and people are set free. Not because I said so, because your word did. Because of what Jesus Christ did. We thank you for tonight. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.